Hello everyone, this is Jeremy Lopez, and welcome to Deep Cloth in the Deep broadcast. And what we like to do in this broadcast is we like to talk about everything from the Bible to principles to science, and begin to really discover a little bit more about who God is in our lives and how we can be more like Him. And today I want to talk to you about something that basically is an interesting idea that I think many of us need to consider. You know, we live in a world where people either are for or against abundance. And so I wanted to call this radio broadcast today, this is what you need. This is what you need. Because a lot of times we look at life, we wonder, what is it that we need in this world? And of course, you know, granted the fact we need a lot of stuff. I mean, we need to be more loving, we need more grace, we need more compassion, we need more peace, we need the things that we believe that God has promised us in His Word. And it's hard. Let's just face it, folks. I mean, there are times a lot of us focus on, you know, just grace, and then a lot of times we focus on mercy, and a lot of times we focus on love, and we tend to sort of neglect or you know, negate all the other things that we need. And so there's a lot of things in the kingdom that we really need in this hour. And but I want to focus on one out of many that of the things that you really need today, and that is the need for money. And I know if you're like me, a lot of times we listen to these broadcasts and we listen to people like Joel Osteen, we listen to Charles Stanley, we listen to T.D. Jakes, Paula White, we listen to a huge variety. I mean, if you think about it, we have, you know, one of my broadcasts I like to listen to is Ask Science Mike. He's actually a really cool guy. He was once an atheist, a Christian, then he went to atheism and he came back with a bang, you know, to really bring forth a lot of the truths from God's Word, and basically now how he sees the Bible. And it's a great broadcast. I really encourage people to discover new broadcasts of people that are, you know, really bringing forth a lot of revelatory stuff in science and spirituality and scriptures, to where we can get a little bit more well-rounded to find out what God is saying. And so a lot of times when we hear these broadcasts and we deal with, you know, there's that ugly word of money, there's that word called wealth, you know, and we tend to cringe. Now, I don't know how many of you right now probably is listening to this, and you're probably cringing, you know, for the moment, because you know that the neurons in your brain have already been connected, you know, and they're connected because of the fact that you have made a judgment, you've made a paradigm, you've made a statement, a sentence, you've made an agreement inside of your brain that says, I just can't stand preachers that talk about money. You know, it's always about give me this and give me that. But this broadcast has nothing to do with what you can give me at all. Don't care about that. What I care about is I want to bring forth some truths of God's Word, because, folks, the reality of this life is you got to have some money. And even though many of you, you know, you have people out there who say there should be separation of church and state, there's people who say, you know, there should not be, you know, and a lot of people look at money the same way. Well, you should not mix money with Christianity, and you shouldn't, you know, do this. But the truth of the matter is, folks, we have to, because God created this world and the system of this world, and not the actual fleshly system that we know is part of the prince of the power of the air, not the system that the human mind begins to, conceive and birth forth, and we get into this systematic way of the human way of living, and it's pretty dangerous. It's not fun. It doesn't produce a whole lot in our lives, but one thing is for sure, that there's a system of how we buy, sell, and trade in this earth. And the truth of the matter is, folks, the scriptures are packed, jam full of verses that deal with money, some negative and many of them positive. But we have to understand that there's no way, from an elementary point of view, there's no way humanly possible you can live on this earth without money. You can't live without abundance. You know, most people say, hey, look, you know what? I don't care about these big homes, big cars, big fancy this and that. Well, that's fine for you, but there's some people who actually need that because they have a mission within their missions to be able to house people that are homeless, to be able to, you know, carry people, you know, to from one place to another. So you really can't say, well, what's, you know, good for me should be good for everyone else. What I don't need, no one else needs. Because isn't that a little judgmental? Isn't that a little sort of, you know, throwing the baby out with the bathwater? Isn't that sort of saying to yourself that, you know, my vision is the best vision? I mean, isn't that what we call pride? And doesn't pride cometh before a fall? So we can't truly say, well, I don't want to hear this. Well, you might not have the need to want to hear about this, but somebody else is in dire need to be blessed financially. And I want to give you guys a scripture today that I posted recently on our Identity Network Facebook page because I felt like it was destined to do a broadcast on. And even though, you know, people label me or anyone else like Joel Osteen or anyone else a prosperity preacher, hey, you know what? Go for it. And I'm at that place in my life, and many of you can relate to this. It seems like the older you get, you just don't care. How many of you feel that way? I know many people that I do life coaching with say, it just seems like, Jeremy, when I was younger, I really cared what people think, and now as I get older, I just really don't care. I don't give a crap, you know? And I'm at that place in my life where I love people dearly, and I want to be a blessing to people. Our ministry is skyrocketing. It's growing. I'm prophesying to people, life coaching people left and right. But the truth of the matter is, the older I get, I just really don't care if you love me or hate me, you know? Because I know that my mission is important. I know that I got to stick to my guns. I have to stick to what I know is true for me, and that's what matters. But I never want to find myself bashing anyone else's thinking or theology unless it's a dangerous theology that's hurting someone else around them. And that's the key thing, is learning to respect people where they are and understanding that your needs might not be someone else's needs, and someone else's needs might not be your needs. And so, you know, it might be that someone is called to have a lot of money. You know, we can look at people, whether you like them or not, Donald Trump, you know, and Hillary Clinton, and we look at both of them and say, they're both loaded. I mean, they are both loaded politicians, you know, loaded full of money. Well, what do we do? Do we want to throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, well, I don't like money and they're both loaded, so I don't want a president, you know? No, we have to realize that money, and here's a scripture, some scripture I want to bring to you. One scripture says, money answers all things. And did you know I have a lot of people, I've posted that a while back on my daily prophetic words, which I would encourage each one of you to go to nowisyourmoment.com, nowisyourmoment.com, and just sign up. And what happens is every day you will receive one email from me that basically just has a principle in it. That's it. It's a principle, something God's put in my heart to tell you, and many of you would love it. A lot of people say, man, I just look for that encouragement every morning, and it speaks so prophetically to me throughout the day. And so that's why I do it. But one thing I posted a while back was, I posted something about basically you need keys in this earth to be able to survive, and I posted the Bible verse that says money answers all things, and you would be amazed and shocked the people who actually had contacted customer service at the ministry of Identity Network and said, where's that in the Bible? I never knew that was in the Bible. Well, because a lot of people really don't study the Bible. They don't really understand it because they'll look at it from a standpoint of maybe being Methodist or Baptist or charismatic. And let's just face it, folks, whether we realize it or not, each denomination tends to focus on certain scriptures while the rest of it, they just sort of chunk it. You know, they don't focus on it. They don't want to because it's going to be left up to the pastor's theology stance. And every pastor on planet Earth has their own theology stance. And so they're going to be able to lean towards that when they're preaching to you. That's just how the world, you know, is ran. And, you know, I can look at a major pastor here in Birmingham, Alabama, and those of you who listen to me from Birmingham, you pretty much know who I'm talking about because he pretty much runs the city. He's got tons of churches springing up everywhere, and on the street I live, there's like three or four of them. I mean, they just pop up everywhere. There's a gigantic one down the street, and he's a good guy. He really is a good guy, and I'm not the one to talk bad about people because he's a good guy. But you know, I think when you look at people like that, people tend to take what they say, you know, for truth, and whatever he says, they take with it. And I know, you know, if I have a family member and other people who go to that kind of church, and it's just, if he says it, that just settles it. And no one else is important, and no one else has a message. And you want somebody to say, isn't that a little close-minded? I mean, do you think God just appointed that one preacher? I mean, the scary thing about it is that's a cultism mentality, because there are millions of great people in Christianity, and folks, believe it or not, out of Christianity, that have amazing wisdom and educational points that you need in your life to survive. I've had God speak to me the loudest in my life from people who weren't even Christian people, you know, authors that weren't even writing Christian books. And so you have to be able to realize that God can speak, and God loves mystery. He loves to speak to the mystery of our lives. That's how God functions and operates as many times in our lives. And so what I'm saying today is this. You might not feel as if you are one that is liking, you know, prosperity, but like the Bible says, that money answers all things. And when I was in elementary school, I learned the word all means all. And so anything on this life, you know, that you look at the Bible and you said that if you want to answer all things in this world, then you need money. And I didn't say that. That's what God said within the Bible. And so when you see it that way, you realize money is important to God. I didn't, once again, He said it, not me. You know, He made it very plain that money is important. And if you want things answered in your life, you need the power of money. And of course, you know, we understand the scripture that says, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil, but money itself is not evil. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that money is evil, ever. In fact, money is by far not evil because it pays your bills, it buys you new Bibles to take on the mission trip, it, you know, it puts food on your table, it buys you a home and a car. And trust me, when you don't have money and you have nothing and you're starving in the street, I guarantee you that you'll be craving and begging for money because you know that money is the key that you need in this world to survive. And so the scripture I want to focus on for a couple of minutes today is one that is I consider very important. All right, very important. So we sort of mastered the art of that one scripture that says money answers all things, and now we understand it a little bit more of something that God says to us, correct? But one scripture that is very important that sort of deals a little bit with the opposite of that, which is poverty. Because I think sometimes we have in our brain that, and of course we've heard many things before, such as this false humility, you know, way of thinking, which it disrupts me so bad because so many people have a really false humility that feels as if I don't need a lot, not in my life. I just want enough to get by and be a little happy. Well, folks, let me ask you a question. Are you happy, you know, paying your bills every week when I know you're stressed out? I don't think so. You know, if you're truly, and here's what I tell people, especially those that are real religious or think that they're not religious, you know, and that is, you know, I just want enough to get by and just live a happy life, raise my family, and just enjoy, you know, just to get enough to get by. Let me ask you a question. If that's the case, and why do you complain sometimes when you don't get that raise? Why do you complain sometimes when you know you need more money and maybe, oh man, my paycheck wasn't enough that I thought it would be. Can't take the kids on a trip and, you know, man, I hate not having enough money just to, you know, to take my kids out to dinner sometimes to go to the movie. Well, here's my question. Is that happiness? Is that the happiness you're looking for? Is that the joy you're talking about that you're really wanting? You know, if that's the case, then you mean to tell me you don't stress one bit when the bill comes in and the power bill in the winter is like extremely high because it's been freezing outside and you've had to turn up the heat a lot that winter, and you mean to tell me you don't get 1 ounce of stress because of the fact that, you know, your bill is a little high, which means automatically it's a red flag because it's going to take out of the limited income that you have on your paycheck? Come on, folks. You know, the truth is, you know you're lying. You know that you are the biggest liar ever, because bottom line is, you know for a fact that that is a false way of thinking, straight from the pits of hell. It's not God. It's not real humility. It's a lie, because you know that you want to have some more money so you don't have to worry about just all the time paying the bills, making sure there's not a left lot over. And the Bible makes it plain about having a little bit more. You know, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Well, what do you think running over is? It's not barely getting by, you know? And I think sometimes people allude to the fact of, well, I don't want to be filthy rich. Well, you don't have to be filthy rich. A lot of people actually are very rich and clean. They're not filthy. You know, a lot of people have a lot of money and actually have tons of joy and love the Lord more than anything in their lives. And, you know, and so when you look at that, you realize, I mean, the choice is yours. And yet what's great about it is God is not threatened by that. God could care less. I remember a good friend of mine who, she got a Jaguar at one point, and she got in her car, and at first she didn't think she deserved it or believed she could, you know, she was actually getting one, and got a Jaguar, and she sat inside the front seat, and when she did, God spoke to her, very plain, and God spoke to her and said, I'm not threatened by what you have. He said, I don't care what you have in your life, if it's $1 billion or a brand new car, as long as these things do not have you. He said, I'm not concerned about what you have. What I'm concerned about is what has you. And I thought to myself, well spoken, God, because God is not threatened by what you have. What bothers God is when you begin to look at your life and realize that these things have more of you than you have a hold of yourself. And so, you know, folks, you need money. I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. You need money. And God doesn't mind you asking and working hard to get more money. God doesn't mind you reading some scriptures on needing more finances in your life, because God knows that you want the desire of your heart answered and that you need it. And you know, I was watching a documentary the other day on stress. And the necessity of having peace in our lives is just at a great demand right now, especially here in the world, but especially here in America, because we're stressed out. People are stressed out because of they're scared of war, because the media lies to you anyway. The media tells you about, man, the world's horrible, when the world is actually not as horrible as they say it is. I mean, statistics will tell you that. It's not. You know, they put a big, huge emphasis on ISIS, and when you look at Syria, and they look at, you know, Libya, gosh, some of the other countries I can't think of off the top of my head, but if you look at all these countries, Libya and everything else, you find that, you know, the media always cast all these fightings in the streets and throwing things, and I used to think for a long time, I thought, these countries are crazy. I mean, they're always fighting, there's no peace, and granted the fact, a lot of them do have a lot of war, but folks, you know, if you look at the other probably 50% of the country, you'll find not everywhere is actually that way. They're actually normal civilians who actually work and eat and go home and play in the streets with the kids. And so, you know, you have to remember that, you know, the media always is there to blow up the whole world. It's there because it needs theatrics. The media is there to make drama and theatrics. That's its job, is to make it look like everything is in any moment gonna blow up, and that everyone's crazy and everyone is off their rocker and the whole world's at war, and it's just the name of the game, folks. And unfortunately, we have a media that tends to feed off that to put fear in you. That's just how the ball bounces in the news, in the media. You never watch the news because for good news, because they know it makes horrible news. They know it's boring, and people want to hear action, and unfortunately it's the nature of the beast in us to hear the action and the fear and the drama, because for some reason it stimulates us. But if you think about it, in this world we need peace really bad. We need peace really bad, and the peace that God wants to give you is the things that He's promised you. And one thing God has promised you is, He says, you know, if a man that doesn't work doesn't eat, that you can, that, you know, He wants to give you an overflowing power, that you find favor between God and man. He wants you to be able to get to be blessed financially, to where that's one less thing of stress you have to worry about. That's a kingdom of God for you. And so one of the scriptures I want to focus on, as to sort of, you know, come to a close today, is one I want you to think, which is the opposite of money, okay? And that is, I put in here, it's Proverbs chapter 10, verse 15. And it says, "The wealth of the rich is their fortress." Now that's pretty positive, is it not? Let's read again. "The wealth of the rich is their fortress." Now I like that. That's awesome. That shows me that, you know what? I feel as if that if I have enough money in my life, because I've worked hard and God's blessed me, and I'm not afraid or ashamed to say that I want to be able to get an abundance in my life, so I can take care of people and clothe people and love on people and buy people's dinners at restaurants without them knowing about it, and buy my kids, you know, good Christmas presents, and have enough money for vacations, and live a little bit more of the abundant life He died for me to have. That sounds pretty good to me. I'm not complaining about it. That sounds like a good fortress to me, a good protection plan. That my protection plan is not in a 401k, but it's in my Father God, who says that He wants to bless me with this, and that His covenant is that of establishment of the riches, according to the Old Testament. And so you go on to read the verse, and here's the focus here. You go on to read the verse, and it says, "And the poverty of the poor is their destruction." Let's read again. Let's read the whole thing. "The wealth of the rich is their fortress. The poverty of the poor is their destruction." Read again. "The poverty of the poor is their destruction." So there is a destructive mentality within people who have nothing. Wow. I didn't say that. The Bible says it. There is a destructiveness upon those that do not have money. Those that are barely scraping by, that are considered maybe not even middle class, but those that are barely getting by. And how many of you have even said, "I just want to barely get by. I'm fine with it. Just give me enough to get by." If you have a poverty mentality, folks, then I have to tell you, you're inviting destruction into your life. And once again, folks, this is not about some prosperity preacher preaching this, not about some apostle or prophet or pastor or some city folk, country folk. This is about the Bible verse. The scripture makes it plain that when you have that type of poverty mentality, you are inviting destructiveness into your life. because the poverty of the poor is their destruction. So when you look at your life and you say, I don't have a lot, then you're going to have to combat against the power and the forces of destruction, because destruction is a deadly, dangerous thing. And the last time I checked, the Bible says the enemy comes but to steal, kill, and to destroy, which is another word for destruction. And so, folks, you're actually being more demonic by not having or asking for money or not getting a creative plan in your life to live an abundant life. You're asking for demonic destructive forces to come upon you. That's exactly what it says here. And if you break it down in the Aramaic, you'll find out that's what it's alluding to. Because it is a destructive attitude, spirit, mentality, whatever you want to call it, that comes upon you when you do not want the best of the things God's promised you in His Word. And so, doesn't that take another angle, look at stuff concerning money? So you have to understand that, you know, are we talking about some name it, claim it, some prosperity gospel? Hey, you know what? I don't care what you call it. I really don't. I'm at a point in my life I could care less what you call it. It's your problem, your paradigm. You know, you're the one that created this monster of these sayings and this prosperity preacher. You heard somebody say that and you adapted to it and called everybody to talk about money that. But the reality of life is, you know, I don't mean this bad, but, you know, you might be the one suffering. And so if that mentality of feeling as if you're anti-prosperity messages and anti-wealth and anti-money, if that's what the neurons in your brain is formulated to believe in that paradigm, then let me ask you a question. How's it working for you right now? How is it working for you to barely get along right now? How's it working for you not to be able to take your children on a vacation? How's it working for you when, you know, you're wondering if you're gonna have your next car payment? How's it working for you when you don't get that bonus at Christmas time? How is it working for you when you look at your life and say, man, I'd like to have another job? Because if it's not working for you, and you still have that mentality, then don't ask God for another job, because you're not going to be blessed with one. Because you have to realize, why are you asking for another job? Why do you want to be promoted? Why do you want to get a raise? Because you need more money. That's why. There's no one on earth who's ever said, I want a promotion. I want to believe God for favor on my job. I want to get a new job because I love to work harder. I just love it with a passion. In fact, I tell you what, boss, you keep your paycheck. I just want to work. No one is that stupid to say that. And it's the truth of the matter. No one's dumb enough to say that. People know that they ask for these things. They want to shift to another position, another job, or move on another side of the country to get another job because they know they need more money. That's the name of the game. That's why you work. And so if you think about it from that angle, you realize that God's not threatened by that. God wants to give you more. You know, I have a lot of my friends who's not charismatic people, and they just cringe to say, oh man, you know, just don't mix money with the kingdom of God. And I want somebody to say, well, where else does money come from? I mean, think about it. Where else does money come from? Where does the word abundance come from? Where does the word favor come from? Where does the word promotion come from? Where does the word give and it shall be given? Where does the word reaping come from after you've sown? Where do these things of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these other things, where does the other things come from? All these things, all these words and terminologies we're using is synonymous with the words prosperity, wealth, and abundance. That's how God functions and flows on earth. So I wanted to do a quick broadcast today just to give you guys a heads up. Think about how you're thinking. Really take and examine your mind and be the observer of your mind. Be the observer of your consciousness and ask yourself the question, am I for or against prosperity? Am I desiring more than, you know, and I'm scared to ask God because maybe God's against me or not doesn't want me to have any more? I dare you to ask God. He said, no good thing will I withhold from you. No good thing will I withhold from those that walk uprightly. He said, I'm the Father of lights, and in me there's no shadow of turning. God is not going to turn on you because you have more. Or God's not going to turn on you because you're asking for abundance. God's not going to turn on you because you said, God, I really need to make more money right now. Give me some strategies. Let me work harder. Let me get a second job. Let me be creative. Let me become an entrepreneur. Whatever it is that you feel led in your life you need to do, but be truthful about it. God knows your heart. He knows you want and desire more money. There's nothing wrong with that. I think we take a couple of scriptures and we just abuse them and we beat them up and we twist them. And that is, well, you know what the Bible says about money. Well, what does it say about money? You know, it's the root of all evil. No, it's the love of money. You can love your spouse, your kids, your car, whatever, your church or your pastor, whatever you want to. But, you know, you don't have to love your money, but you can like money because you need to like money because money pays your bills. Money puts food on your table. You better like money. God never said you fall in love with it. He did say you can like it though because you better like it. What you befriend, guess what hangs around you more. Okay, and so that's one of the truths I want you to take home today. And whatever you focus on expands. So the more you kick out money in your life and say, I'm not going to focus on that, well, you know what? Don't worry about it. Your friend won't stay close to you. Once you kick them to the curb, unless they're an abusive spouse that's very fragmented and dysfunctional, they're not going to return back to you. I mean, they're not going to return back to you because they know you're going to try to beat them up or hate them or not like them or not love them. So you have to learn to befriend money to realize that it's that greenery that pays and puts food on your table. So check your spirit today. Re-examine yourself and just ask the Lord, if poverty is destructive, I don't want to get even near or close to that. I don't want to barely get by, God. I need enough so I can do my life's mission work that your kingdom has called me to. And that way you can fight the good fight of faith and be able to look back and say, you know what? One thing I did not worry about in my life is I did not worry about money because I had an abundance of. And I can be able to finally set that aside and say, well, good, thank God there's an abundance and no lack, like the Bible says, so I can pay my bills, I have to worry about it, stress out about it, and I can focus on the greater things in my life I need to focus on. And then when you reach that place, you'd be amazed how much your mind will shift into other things that will be fun, adventurous, creative. You'll get more work for God's kingdom done. You'll be able to do the things God wants you to do. But first and foremost, you got to establish a foundation, and that is, do you need more money? And don't be afraid to ask God, because God wants you to have more money. And quote these scriptures over your life. Get in the Bible, quote the scriptures that deal with abundance and wealth and understand what lack is and poverty according to the Word of God. And trust me, after a while, you'll begin to start desiring a little bit more because you know that your stress level is out the roof. You don't need to be stressful about money. You need God to help you and you need to have a vision for it to where you're able to get it, pay your bills, and move on. Focus on bigger things in your life. That's why God loves us a lot. He wants to take care of us internally and externally. So as you go today, folks, I want you to re-examine your life. Re-examine how you're thinking. Sort of get a check in your spirit about these things and realize, you know what, am I really thinking properly? Am I really thinking correctly the way God wants me to think? And if you need any help, folks, let me tell you something. I have a great, great course that I know many of you would love. I've had Baptist, Methodist, Charismatics, get the course and said, man, this is extremely revelatory. I mean, it blew my mind. And that is the financial course I have called the School of Financial Perception and Mental Economics. School of Financial Perception and Mental Economics. It'll help you to understand that wealth first starts in the brain. Be wealth consciousness before you have greenery, which is wealth in the natural. And that way you know your balance then. You understand the power that what's truly wealthy is that your soul needs to prosper. But here's the thing, that you need to prosper even as your soul prospers. So you got to be able to prosper in both arenas, because if you're not, you're false balance, and God doesn't like false balance, as the Bible says. So check it out today. Get the school. I think it'll bless you and help you out. So until our next broadcast, have an amazing, prosperous day today.